Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you honor and I give you glory for all that came out into the house tonight to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, you know the needs of each and every person in here tonight. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to meet those needs. Bring the joy of the Lord that's buried deep down inside. Bring it to the service tonight, Father. And let us have the joy of the Lord, not only just for a few seconds, but for every second of every day. And Father, these people need to be blessed. And I'm asking you to bless them as only you can. And I thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, yesterday was yesterday. Whatever happened yesterday. And today is a brand new day. Now, I know I lost Larry in March, and it was a blow. But I determined my heart with the kids that he's in heaven enjoying himself, having a wonderful time, looking down, wanting us to enjoy ourselves. So we determined we were going to have a very merry Christmas, and we did. Because, you know what, God, when my mother died, God said, are you going to die with your mother? And I said, no. Because she's up there really happy, and I'm sitting there acting like, well, I did lose my best friend. I lost my mother. We just didn't have a slight acquaintance. We had a very deep-rooted acquaintance, and it was really hard losing her. But, you know, you have to let go of that, and you have to move on. Because there's a work for that God wants us to do. And I personally, God has opened up the heavens and let me see my loved ones up there, you know, cheering me on, telling me to go on. Now, if you haven't had that privilege and honor, I'm going to tell you that they really are up there. They don't want you sitting down here moaning and groaning and, you know, and being all depressed because they're not with you. They want you to enjoy life, enjoy every second of life, and move on. Well, new day, new dawning. New year here in another day. And so let's move on with God. Let's just move on with God and quit your stupid wallowing in your beer, whatever you want to call it. Let's just move on and have a good time. You know, we only have one life to live. I think that was in one of those songs. So why don't we live it to the fullest in Christ? And he wants us to be joyful and happy. As you read the scriptures, he was always happy, wasn't he? He's always going around having himself a good time. So why do we think we have to walk around long faces? I want to share something. This morning when Brother Mark gave his testimony, the Holy Spirit hit me and went all over me. And I knew what he was saying was totally and completely God. Then Sister Elizabeth gave what God showed her. And the Holy Spirit went all over me, totally and completely consumed me and caused me to cry. And I knew that was a God. And see, you people need to understand when people are speaking, whether it's of God or whether it's a flesh. And the Holy Spirit's going to witness to you what is God and what is not. And a lot of you don't know what is God and what is not, so you're just walking. You're not walking in the fullness of what God would have you to walk in. So he told us this morning to walk in expectancy. All right? And that expectancy is when you're in, I was telling Sister Barbara, that whenever you're in the market, in a store, you don't need to say, God, who can I touch? All you have to do is be expectant that you know that the anointing is inside of you. And it doesn't matter where you go in that store, or I'll just say the store. If there's somebody that needs a touch, the virtue is going to leave you and hit them and do whatever it needs to do. That happened to me a lot. You know, people, I just walk by people and they would be healed. You know, walk by people and they start screaming and jumping up and down because God had touched them. So, and I didn't pray for them. I didn't know them. You know, I just knew God was in me. And I just knew God wanted to heal. So because that expectancy was in there for God to touch whoever, he did. And so this is why people aren't being healed when you walk by them, is because you don't understand that healing anointing is in you. And you're not expecting that anointing to do anything. And so it doesn't. So that's just a little tidbit from this morning. God wants us to walk in expectancy. And another thing, you know, what God is calling us forth to do, each one of you individually have had a prophetic word telling you what God wants you to do. Now you have to walk in expectancy because now God is bringing it forth. You have to be expecting God to bring that prophetic word to pass now. He told me, I'm a right now God, not 10 years down the road, but right now he wants to do everything that he's been telling you that he's going to do in your life. Now, that tonight he told me, you know, I said, what do you want me to teach on Sunday? He said, expectancy in the morning and consequence in the evening. So here you go. All right. We're going to talk about consequence. And when I started looking up consequence, all I ever heard was obedience. And, I mean, all I read was obedience and disobedience. You know, so then you have to, you know, to get a consequence, you have to either be obedient or disobedient. So let's start here. There's a desperate need for obedience to God's word among those ruling us in these turbulent times in the world. Now, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. Those of us who are leading others, and God said everybody he sends to me are going to be leaders, and he's teaching them how to be a leader. So if you are a leader, then you have to be obedient to everything that God is telling you to do. You can't deviate from anything God's telling you to do. You have to be obedient to that, because if you're not, you're going to mess somebody's life up. You never can compromise God's word. You have to tell the truth the way it is, whether people like it or not. And when I went off and the young kids today, that was not me. I was so upset with God. I said, why are you doing this? You know, but, you know, I have to, you know, I say, God, here I am. I'm your vessel. You say whatever you want to through me. And so you all know he does. Amen. So please don't get mad at the messenger. Take it to God if he says something to you that you don't like. All right. When you hear the word consequence, you also hear the words obedience and disobedience. Consequence is having important effects or influence. That's what consequence is. Having important effects or influence. Obedience is the practical acceptance of the authority and will of God. In other words, accept anything what God tells you to do, you just accept it. You don't question him. You just accept it. Remember when he told Abraham, pack up your bags and move? He didn't ask God where to. When he went and told Sarah, she said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. We're just moving. See, he just obeyed what God asked him to do. We want to know where we're getting the money from and if we're going to have a motel waiting for us. You know, we just don't pack up and go. Now, disobedience is unwillingness to comply with the guidance of authority, especially refusal to follow God's will. That's what disobedience is. You're not willing to do what God told you to do because he's not doing it the way you want to do it. Come on, I want that to sink into your head. You're unwilling to do what God wants you to do because he's not doing it the way you want him to do it. We want it done a certain way, but he wants it done a certain way. So you can battle him all you want, but he's not going to change his mind. He's going to do it the way he has it planned out, or it just won't happen. All right. I never try to change God's mind because, after all, I'm not God. He told me that long time ago. He says, I'm God. And he says, I'll tell you what to do. And I know that God knows better than I do what to do, because I know I've messed my life up sometimes, haven't you? And I know that if I do what God tells me to do, I won't ever mess my life up, because God knows exactly how it's going to turn out. Now, disobedience involves setting the desire of the flesh above the will of God. Disobedience is whenever you set the desire of your flesh above the will of God. In other words, God tells you to do something. Nope, my flesh wants to do this, and we're going to do what my flesh wants. I don't care what. Flesh wins. God loses. Our actions bring forth consequences through obedience or disobedience. Every act of obedience brings forth a consequence, and every act of disobedience suffers a consequence. We have entered into a season where we must quickly obey everything God tells us to do. And God said we no longer have the luxury of praying about it or doing it later at our convenience. God dealt with me and said, you tell them they have to do what I tell them to do the minute I tell them to do it. Now you have to, then he also said, no more grace for those who will not move instantly. Now you also have to know that you have to have your mind settled in God. You can't be one of those just fly-by-night things. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to be settled in God, and you have to know his voice. And then when his voice speaks to you, then you do what he tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, rebelling against God always has a consequence of some sort, even if it's only guilt. And how many of you have had guilt because you rebelled against what God said? Now, the word tells me in Colossians 3:19, it tells men, husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Now, how many husbands obey God in this area? Look at the consequences of disobedience here. a wife with low self-esteem, troubled children, drugs, divorce, and, you know, a rebellion, and it goes on and on and on. And if the man is not loving his wife the way the Word of God tells him to, then your whole household is in disarray and disorder. Isn't that right? And if you're having trouble in your household, men, don't look any further than your nose, because you're the problem. You have not lined up with the will of God and been doing the things that God's told you to do. Some of you love yourself more than you do your wife, more than you do God, and you need to get that straight first. Then everything else is going to fall in line. And I put that in there because God's been dealing with me about how he's really upset with how men will not love their wives as he's commanded them to. He's upset because it's bringing disgrace to him, because people look, I go to church, but look, everything's in disarray in my family. And it's because the man has not stepped up to the plate and become the man that God wants him to be. All right? So, men, you're suffering a consequence. I'm going to tell you, men, right now, if you treat your wife like God wants you to treat them, you would just be so happy you wouldn't be able to stand yourself. All right, so let's take a look at the scripture and see what happened when Saul was in disobedience to God. Now, the Lord gave Saul a very special privilege, a unique opportunity to fulfill a prophecy that God had given to Moses' generations before. This prophecy was a prediction that the Amalekites would face the judgment of God and be erased from the face of the earth. And you can read Exodus, and maybe you go home and get the whole story. But Exodus 17:14 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." He was going to wipe out that whole generation of people. Now, it was now time for the prophecy to be executed. Time for the hand of God's judgment to fall upon the Amalekites. And the instrument of God's judgment was to be King Saul. Some of the things that God's trying to get you to do is he's trying to fulfill the destiny of other people, or the destiny of what he has already prophesied. Therefore, the command of God was given to Saul. He was to carry out the execution of God's judgment. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." This is what God said. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly, utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they come up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And see, God said he's just going to destroy the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. What did God say to him? Utterly destroy everything. Now, but Saul disobeyed and failed God miserably. And in his disobedience, his decline reached its climax. God finally rejected Saul. The final straw of God's patience was broken. And the hand of God's judgment fell upon Saul himself. And Saul suffered terrible consequences all because of his disobedience. Some of you sitting in here today, God's told you to do something. You've done half of it, but you have not done the rest. He's given you a word saying that you're not supposed to marry somebody, but by God, you're going to marry them come hell and high water. So you're going to suffer some consequences that you really, truly do not want to suffer. God's told you to stay sitting where you're at, but you're going to move to another church because, after all, people aren't speaking to me the way I want them to speak to me. So you're going to move to another church, and then you're going to suffer consequences. You're going to blame the church you came out of, saying that they caused you to do it. It's just you, and I'm just using examples of things that have been going on lately. And so you instead of you doing what God's told you to do, you're doing what you want to do. All right, 1 Samuel 15:10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. See, Samuel was grieved for Saul, and he cried out all night long. So, and then verse 12 says, so when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he is going on around, passed by, and going down to Gilgal. In other words, somebody told him this is what Saul had done. But it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. But he thinks an awful lot of himself and very little of God's word. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the best we have, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. God didn't tell them to save anything for sacrifice. He said, utterly destroy all things. But God, surely you don't want me to do this, and surely you don't want me to give up that. Surely he does. If he's told you to do something, he wants you to do exactly what he's told you to do. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Verse 19, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, wasn't Saul, but the people, took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity, and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Saul didn't do what God told him to do, so God said, wipe you out. That's simple, wipe you out. 1 Samuel 15, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, I want to stop and give you a testimony of myself. When I was young and getting married for the first time, you know, my mother had planned a big wedding for me and had everything all set out. And I was in the church getting ready to walk down the aisle. The church is full of people. And I heard a voice. And I didn't know you heard the voice of God. The voice would be, do not walk down that aisle. And I looked around. I thought, who just said that? And the voice said again, do not walk down that aisle. While I looked around at the people, I saw my father stand down and give me away. I thought of all the food that was in the place where we were going to have the reception, and I walked, and I didn't want to disappoint anybody. I looked at man. I walked down that aisle. I spent 45 years of total misery with a man who went after I had my third child, and she was 2 months old, said, I don't love you. I will never love you. I will never touch you again as long as we're together. And that's the way it was. But I spent 45 years with a man who never loved me, but I couldn't blame him because God said to me, do not walk down that aisle. Are you listening, people? I did not obey the voice of God, so I suffered the consequences of disobedience. All right, so then verse 24, Saul said, yeah, he did wrong. And verse 25 says, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Then Saul said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people, before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Remember, Saul was supposed to kill him. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. How many times has God said in here, if you don't get it together, I'm going to take your mantle and give it to somebody else? If you keep doing what you're doing, God is going to remove your mantle if he hasn't already, and he will give it to somebody, and he will regret he ever called you to work for him. You know, we play around with it, and if you go to this church, you have heard the truth, and you've been warned and warned and warned. And we play around with the things of God and the word of God and the people of God, thinking, oh, one day I'll just shake myself like Samson did and everything will be fine. And no, that day when you decide to shake yourself, everything's not going to be fine. You're going to find out just like Samson did, the anointing has left you. The glory of God is no longer with you. The grace of God isn't there. Because we have a God of justice. He's not a God of partiality, but he is a God of justice. And if you don't obey him, then he's just going to remove his grace. We see here that disobedience can make God regret placing a calling upon your life. Partial obedience is actually disobedience in God's eyes. You can't do half of what God wants you to do, or a quarter. You have to do the whole 100%. Obedience is doing what God says, how he says it, when he says to do it. Obedience is doing what God says, how he says it, when he says to do it. And you really, when God speaks to you about something, sometimes you don't understand what he's saying. And you try to step out there and do what God's wanting you to do. But, you know, we have to have wisdom in all things. This is why God said, ask for wisdom in all things, right? I mean, God, whenever he told me he wanted me to start a church, I said, I don't know how to start a church. Don't know the first thing about it. He said, you run businesses, you can run a church. And so I started a church, and I had to, and the Holy Spirit told me every day how to operate in it. And he still does, because running a church isn't what everybody thinks running a church is all about, because you have people's souls in your hands. All right. So I said, obedience is doing what God says, how he says it, when he says to do it. Now, God is displeased with disobedience because at every point it is an attack on his glory. It puts the fear of man in the place of the fear of God. That's what happened to me when I got married and shouldn't have. It elevates pleasure in things above pleasure in God. It seeks a name for itself instead of a name for God. We're talking about disobedience. It consults the wisdom of self instead of being satisfied with the will of God. It consults the wisdom of self instead of being satisfied with the will of God. And it sets more value on the dictates of self than on the dictates of God, and thus attempts to dethrone God by giving allegiance to the idol of the human will. All right? Please don't be disobedient to God, because we don't want the title that he told me to preach on consequence, or teach on consequence. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to pay the consequence of anything I've done. You know, if it's disobedience. I've had to do that and I didn't like it. So, you know, my time I was at a church and the pastor came against me and really downgraded me to every front of everybody, but didn't really bother me because I hadn't done it, you know. But when I got home and people heard about it, they come and said, "Aren't you upset?" I said, "No, I'm not upset because I didn't do it." "Well, you need to be upset." I said, "Well, I'm not upset." And they said, "Well, you really need to be upset." And then God said, "Don't you dare get upset." Well, I got upset. He said, "All right, if you want to walk in that, you go right ahead. I'll be here when you get out of it." And for a year, I had to pay for that, you know, disobedience. And God told me, "Don't you get into that being upset." I really had no reason to get upset because what they said wasn't true. You know, it was something they listened to somebody else say about me. And people are always going to do that to you. They're always going to say evil against you because they're jealous of you. They want that anointing you have, and they haven't paid the price for it, so they're going to try to belittle you and put you down so you lose that anointing. All right, so don't fall into that trap. I never did that little trick again. But God, I have a right to be upset. After all, shouldn't have done that to me. No, I didn't have a right to be upset. I'm a child of God, and people are going to come against you. They're going to belittle you. They're going to put you down. They're going to say all manner of evil of you. The word tells you that. You know, and the reason why you get upset is because you don't know your word. All right? All right, it is now time for all to take their post and allow, and this is what God said, it is now time for all to take their post and allow me to accomplish all that I need to accomplish through each and every one. It is now time to take your post. It is now time that my Holy Spirit be able to work the works while it is still day, for darkness shall soon overtake this earth. That was a prophetic thing from God. Let's read that again. It is now time for all to take their post and allow me to accomplish all that I need to accomplish through each and every one. Right now, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, but right now. It is now time that my Holy Spirit be able to work the works while it is still day, for darkness shall soon overtake this earth. All right, I looked up John 9, 4 and 5. It says, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And that sort of, you know, just sort of piqued my interest a little bit. And so Jesus said, while he was in the world, he was the light. Jesus is no longer in the world, so we are now that light. And that light is shed abroad to destroy the works of darkness. Did you ever stop to think about that? The light left us when Jesus did, and now we are the light. And then I got into reading about the tribulation, and I realized, you know, it says, you know, the moon's not going to show any light, the stars are going to fall from the sky, and something about the sun won't shine anymore or something. I don't know word for word. And then I got to thinking, and then the rapture's going to occur, and I thought, God, then the light, us, will be taken out that time too, and it's going to be total gross darkness on the earth. For the people who did not receive Christ are going to be here and go through that terrible gross darkness. Did you ever really comprehend all that? You know, that we are the light. And we are the light that's keeping this world going right now, that the Jesus in us is the light, and that whenever the tribulation occurs and Jesus comes to take us home, and we're all out of this, Jesus is out already, the Holy Spirit is going, and then we're out, and there's no stars, no sun, no moon, it's gross darkness, there's no light down here. All right, Chris Lynch is going to stay around for the help the people after the rapture, isn't that wonderful? So how bright is your light? You have my little candle. I'm going to let it shine, you know? And my daughter, God told her too that she was going to stay behind because she, you know, they're going to teach ones that stayed behind, you know, that didn't get raptured. They're going to teach them about Jesus and bring them to the light. So your little candles are going to be really, have to be really bright in the dark, dark world that's going to be around you. I'm glad it's you and not me. Amen. Do you understand? You know, I don't know, you know, my daughter, you know, God, I called her one day years and years ago and I said, honey, and we're both, I started crying, she started crying. I said, God said that you weren't going to go into rapture, you're going to stay behind. She said, I know he already told me that. She said, I'm already preparing myself for that. And then one day, little old Chris was sitting in my kitchen. I said, Chris, God said, I think that's how it happened, that you're not going to go into rapture, you're going to stay behind. He said, what? Isn't that how it happened? So anyhow, and there might be some of you, other people that God said, you're not going to go into rapture, that he's going to leave you behind. Not because you're a sinner, but because you are his and he needs people here to teach others who are going to come to the light. And you are going to be the light that they're going to be drawn to. All right? You can read all that in the Word. I got that. I was really excited. But I thought, no, that's a whole different teaching. But I just thought I'd throw that out there so you can at least think about it. All right? So I said, Jesus said, while he was in the world, he was the light. Jesus is no longer in the world, so we are now that light. And that light is shed abroad to destroy the works of darkness. And it says, don't put your light under a bushel, right? We're supposed to let our light shine. And the only way we can let our light shine is if we're really doing the works of God, walking in righteousness and holiness, and really letting our light shine. We can't let our light shine if we're out there in sin. You're really not a child of God if you're out there sinning all the time. You have enough teaching under your belt. You should not be doing that. No condemnation, please, if you're still trying. You just keep right on trying. But I have to throw that out there, all right? Shoe fits, put it on. Now, right now is harvest gathering. We can no longer give God any excuses why we are not bringing in the lost and the dying. This is what God told me to tell you. Now, right now is harvest gathering. We can no longer give God any excuses why we are not bringing in the lost and the dying. Now, upon hearing this word, your choices of what you are going to do about, what are you going to do about this word, whatever you do are going to bring consequences. Are the consequences going to bring good results, or are the consequences going to bring bad results? The choices are yours. In other words, are you going to be obedient to everything God speaks to you, that he's already prophesied to you, and what he will speak to you in the future? Or are you going to let your flesh rule and do what you want to do? You're going to pay for your choice. It's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. I really hope and pray that some of you in here, you've made some really bad choices. And if you stay with those choices, you're really going to suffer consequences that God never meant for you to suffer. I'm really asking you to really get before God and really search his face. You really don't have to search his face. You just need to get before God and repent. And you know, and not do what you're purposed in your heart to do. The reason why us older folk are still around is to teach you younger folk what we already went through. And to keep you from falling into the same traps that we fell into. Now you can say, oh, you're old, you don't know. And some people say, well, you're too young, you don't know. You know, you just need to quit those excuses. And you just need to start doing what God is calling you forth to do. And if you're a minister of the gospel, you need, and if you're not telling your people the truth, you need to step up to the plate and start preaching the truth. Well, I'll lose my people. Hey, it's better to lose your people than lose your soul. Come on. And I know that, you know, the pastors in this area said that if you would just quit preaching so hard, you'd have the biggest church around her because people really love you and the anointing of God is on you. But I can't do that. It's not about people. It's not about heads. It's about souls. And I have to speak the truth. And the truth does kill. it will kill your flesh if you allow it to. The truth will set you free. But God said to teach on consequence. Now, he's letting you know that there's a consequence to everything you do from this moment forth, because now you've been enlightened, and now you know that you have to act on God's word that he prophesies to you. It's not what you prophesize to yourself either. Because your little mind really works wonders. It really does. It'll tell you exactly what you want to hear when you prophesy to yourself. Come on. You know, if God prophesies a word to you yourself, then he will bring a prophet along and he'll confirm that word. That's the way that works. And if it's not confirmed, if I was you, I'd really put it on the shelf somewhere and just tell God, if this is really you, God, then you will confirm your word. All right? Some of you are sitting I'm hearing God say, in the middle of the road, and some of you are sitting on the fence, and you need to get off the fence and get out of the middle of the road, and you need to make some good quality choices tonight of what you're really going to do. You're either going to be disobedient or obedient, one or the other. Come on. The reason why we're not winning souls to Christ is because we're being disobedient to God, and we're not making good quality decisions, and then we're trying to think up excuses to cover our bad decisions that we've made. All right? You know, I'm hearing God say, do not boo-hoo my word, because my word is truth. And my word cuts. My word separates. And, you know, it does. It separates the chaff from the wheat. And it separates a lie from the truth. And if you'll just follow God's word, really follow God's word and do what God's asking you to do. You know, we've all been through a terrible, terrible 10 years of tribulation. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've gone through things I never thought I'd ever even get near. But yet I've gone through them. I've been in the very center of them. Why? Because that's where the world's at. And if you're a true leader of God, then you're going to have to get into the center of the mess. Learn what the mess is all about. And have God show you how to get the... It's not about you. It's about setting the people free that are in that mess that he sends you into. And then whenever he teaches you of what's going on and shows you how to free them up, then he'll let you minister to the people. You know, I found out years ago that you cannot just sit in the little neat corner. You're going to have to get into the dirt, just like Jesus did. He got into where the sinners were at. And he didn't become a sinner, but he ministered to the sinners right where they were at. And this is what we're called to do, minister to the sinners right where they're at. All right? Some of you, God has asked you to do something and you missed it. But there is a chance that you can do it, still do it. I'm just telling you what God's telling me right now. But you missed it, and you know you missed it. You know that you didn't move when God told you to move. You know, do what he told you to do when he told you to do it, because it wasn't the way you wanted it done. And God said he's going to give you one more time to get it right. He's going to give you one more time to get it right. And I'm hearing him say, so if I was you, I'd go over my prophetic word and I would see what it is that I've told you to do. And then I would set plans to do it. Amen. Why do you want to suffer needlessly is what he's saying. When if you just do what I tell you to do, there's so much joy and so much pleasure in that. Amen. Come on. You know, the other day I was saying, God, you know, because I'm just so busy all the time. And I said, why am I so busy? He said, you're two hands short. So when Larry left, two hands short, he said, now you're carrying his load plus all the loads you already have. And now you have the sheep who are giving you more of a load because they won't obey my voice. So he said, I'll fix this for you. I'll do what I have to do to fix it for you to lighten your load. But see, he never talked to me about it until I finally said, God, you know, sometimes we just try to be, you know, all that. And then some, we try to be that strong rock that can do everything. But I found out, no, I can't. I used to always think I could do everything. But now it's darker, it's heavier, and we all need help. But if we just ask for it, we're going to get it. Some of you've gotten prophetic words from people who were not prophets. And it was the devil speaking through them, trying to get you off the path that God would have you on. You need to throw that to the roadside. And you need to start saying, God, I need to hear the truth. Because it's a truth that I must follow. And not these false prophets. So I'm asking each one of you to please be obedient to God's voice. And if you know you're messed up, sit down for a spell. You know, I didn't say leave God. I said, just let your gifts sort of lay on a shelf for a little bit. Until God can get your mind together, so that whenever you do minister to people, it's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And it will minister to people, it will build people up, it won't destroy. there's a lot of things I could say to you that I know is a truth, but God isn't, he's just telling me. Are you hearing that? He's just telling me because, so I know where you're at. And I keep it right to myself. And if and when God wants to speak it, he'll speak it. But I don't have to tell you. You're like a little spitball. You went messed up. You know, I don't have to do that. Because God knows the exact time for it to be revealed to you. But in the meantime, he wants me to know so that I'm not caught off guard or you know, people can't pull the wool over my eyes. Are you understanding this? So just because you know something about somebody, you don't have to say it. Be obedient to God and just be still. Do you know how many times he's told me to be still in the last year? I don't want to hear that word no more, God. Two words, be still. But he speaks them anyhow, and I do be still because I want to be in God's perfect will. So are you expectant, like God taught us this morning? Expecting the miracle working power to be in you, expecting that wherever you're at, you don't have to lay hands on people. You know, the reason why you do this is because you wanted me to say, people say, oh, look what they just did. Well, you know what? You might not want that to happen. You know, something might go astray, and then you're going to wish you'd have kept your mouth shut. It's better to let God go ahead and work behind the scenes through you than it is to get out there. Why do you want a big known name? Why do you do that? It's not in the name. The only name it's in is in the name of Jesus. And when God put the song service together, I said, God, this is a love song. This is just all about love. And he said, I love my people. And I want them to understand where they're at with me. And I hope that's what the song service did for you. And like the song, what if I gave everything? What if you don't? That would be my question. What if I didn't give you everything, God? The answer is, then I couldn't use you, right? But if you give him everything, then he can use you. It's up to you tonight. It's your choice. In or out, obedience or disobedience. And you know, if you're a leader, you know, you're going to hear God's voice. You really will, because you're leading people. And when you say, all right, we can't do this, they're going to get all excited. They're going to throw a living fit. But you have to stand your ground because you know you heard God's voice, and you have to do this, because if you don't, then you're out of God's will and things are going to get messed up.